I call this meeting to order for the 86th session of the Senate of the Associated Students on Wednesday, October 17th, 2018 at 5:34 in the Rita Layden Senate Chambers on the third floor of the Joe Crowley Student Union. Moving into the second item of business, Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Moving into agenda item 3, roll call.
Speaker Martinez.
Absence excused.
Senator Ahmed.
Present.
Senator Alvarez.
Present.
Senator Amaya.
Present.
Senator Aziz.
Present.
Senator Burton.
Present.
Senator Clemens.
Absence excused.
Senator Collins.
Present.
Senator File.
Tardy excused.
Senator Grant.
Present.
Senator Green.
Present.
Senator Hudson.
Absence excused.
Senator Hughes.
Present.
Senator Lemus.
Present.
Senator Mata.
Present.
Senator McKinney.
Present.
Senator Rogers.
Present.
Senator Sewell.
Present.
Senator Wilcox.
Present.
Senator Wilde.
Absence excused.
Senator Yagiyan.
Present.
All right, quorum is present.
All right, moving into agenda item 4, adoption of minutes. I'm seeking a motion to approve the minutes A through B. Senator Mata.
I move to approve the minutes A through B unanimous consent.
Is there any dissent to the motion? Seeing none, the minutes are approved. Moving into agenda item 5, public comment. We do have two speakers here to present today. We'll first be hearing from Elizabeth Lown. She's the Associate Director of the Nevada Career Studio. Yeah, that's fine.
All right. So thank you. Thanks, everybody, for the opportunity to be here today. I wanted to talk to you about the PAC Internship Grant Program. So as probably everybody is aware, the program did open earlier this week for going into our fifth year. So of course, I always appreciate, you know, the partnership with ASUN for this program. I think students deeply appreciate it. I wanted to give you a brief recap from last year and then talk about the program this year. And if anybody has any questions, I'm happy to answer them. The program continues to grow and continues to expand, continues to produce wonderful outcomes for our undergraduate students, which is the goal, right? That's always what this is about. So in 2018, so you know, as you know, the internships themselves take place in the spring. Students apply the fall before. So this past year, we had 62 internships that were taking place in the greater Reno, kind of Reno-Tahoe area. And that is for 120 hours. That's about 9 to 10 hours a week for students, getting paid $12 an hour in a variety of industries. So we had 52 unique employers. So it was almost, we're getting closer to that one for one. And we'll probably never quite get there, but that's a good thing, because what that means is we have employers who are matching now. As you know, we have been doing that for the last couple of years, where employers are so thrilled with our student talent and with this program that they will match funding. So sometimes they'll take multiple, so we may fund one and they may fund one or more. So they might fund an additional student or they may even fund two. Done some half matching too to make it a little bit easier for organizations. As you know, primarily I'm working with startup organizations, nonprofits, and public or government agencies. So those will be three areas where typically it's an unpaid internship or no internship. So in the areas of nonprofit and government, there aren't aren't strict rules or regulations around requiring pay for interns. So that's an issue. You know, if students have interest, they can be wonderful learning experiences, but if a student needs to earn money, you know, then that doesn't work out. That's a sort of a disconnect to participate with internships in those organizations. So the startups, obviously, typically they're going to be more along the lines of for-profit businesses, but they're also new. They have limited funding, and they will be the ones who will say, even though I could really use the help and provide some wonderful mentorship to a student, as they may be the second or third or fourth person at the table in that company, they'll say, I can't do it, so you know, I have to pay, I just won't be able to do that. So it's really the three areas that struggle to provide compensation for our students and can offer some of the very best learning experiences. So it's always very much, you know, a dual focus when selecting companies for these internships. So we did have 25 positions in nonprofit. We're right around the same number this year as well, going into the current application cycle for the 2019 interns. And then we had 18 positions that were in startups, small businesses. This year, we are we're down a little bit in the startups, but that's not totally true. I guess we're right around the same number. And then our government positions, our public agency, went up a little bit. So we have 14 this year, and last year we had 9. So we're still pretty well diversified. Also, a big feature of this program is that we continue to try to deliver internships that are not only rigorous, but that will fit in with something for everyone, meaning, you know, every major, every program. With 60-ish positions, we're not going to have some, you know, there are way more than 60 industries, obviously, but that hopefully an engineer can find something, an English major can find something, somebody who's majoring in community health science can find something of interest. So that's always the goal as well. And last year, we saw great rise in applications and in interns from liberal arts and from CABNER and from science in particular, those three colleges. We always see large application numbers from business, pretty good numbers from engineering and from community and from health sciences and education as well. So that was really good. Last year was a banner year for applications. We had almost 1,000 applications come in from students for 62 positions last year. So it was very competitive. It will remain competitive this year, I'm sure. This year we have 61 positions. It's almost the exact same number as last year. That number may change as employers see the applicant pool. That typically happens every year where they'll select another student. So, and then great program outcomes. So once again, this past year we had half of our interns gaining continued employment as a result of their PAC internships. So whether that was with their organization or with a organization in that field that was facilitated by their relationship with their supervisor, half of our PAC interns had continuing employment. And even several of those students were offered full-time permanent jobs. They were graduating in May, they got full-time offers. So great outcomes for our students, and employers are happy too. I mean, we're way above 90% for program satisfaction for both employers and for students who participate. So, great outcomes. I can leave you guys with a little bit of data here. And then this report I have sent to Carissa and Hannah. So they may have distributed this already, but certainly some good information for everybody. There's always been a focus on underrepresented students, you know, students who, you know, we want to make sure this is diverse. We want to make sure everybody, you know, who has a need for a paid internship has an opportunity to gain a paid internship. So it's a little bit hard to figure out how to quantify and calculate for need, you know, and what that means and what an under, you know, how we can really collect data around that. But we did pull and really target first-generation students over the past couple of years. Those numbers do continue to rise, where we have more first-gen applicants and interns for the second year in a row. So nearly 20% of our applicants this past year were first-generation students. And just over 20%, 23% of our selected interns were first-generation students. That's, of course, self-identified by filling out the FAFSA form, so that may not be completely indicative of everyone and everyone's situation. So definitely continuing to make sure that this program really does serve and can serve an opportunity for everyone on this campus. So in the interest of time, does anyone have any questions at all about last year or about this current year?
Senator McKinney?
So applications are due in November?
Correct.
And you apply on Handshake?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes, awesome. Yes. November 6th, so Election Day, hopefully easy to remember. Applications will be accepted online through Handshake, our job board, through 11:59 p.m., so all day into the evening on that day. Yep.
Senator Rogers?
Has the list of businesses participating been released yet?
It is available on Handshake, and there will be more emails to come that will have more targeted information, particularly out through colleges, through departments, where it's, psychology students. These would be some great internships if you're looking to stay in the field. That said, students can and should apply for any and all positions that they're interested in. So an English major should apply to the mechanical engineering position if they're interested and can articulate an interest and a connection to that position. It's really an opportunity to explore. People are not limited. None of these positions are limited by college, major, academic year, sort of standing or status. There is a minimum GPA of 2.75. It's undergraduate students only, but it's really not restrictive or limited.
Senator Grant?
Personally, I don't like the idea of ASUM funding the entire program. Do you think it would be possible to get all or at least half of these companies to meet us halfway or possibly fund the entire program for these students? Because I did the math. Right now, each student is getting paid $1,100 roughly for the whole semester. If companies were to meet us halfway, it would only cost them $580 to fund one student.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a huge deal, but I don't know, do you think that's possible?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a goal, and I think, with employers, right now it's the three groups are employers who would perhaps otherwise not participate. And so, in kind of working with them, I'm saying, well, I think this is a good opportunity, and of course we have this ability but I want to and have the shared interest of leveraging your funds and sort of extending them as much as possible. So every third year of participation, an employer has to self-fund at least one position or they're no longer eligible to participate in the program at all until they would meet that requirement. So there's definitely some of that's, we're not just giving exclusively without expecting something. You have to have some skin in the game. And the truth of the matter is, employers who participate on multiple years love this program, and so it's not a difficult thing to sell. We have half matching, to your point, to make it a little bit easier for organizations. The bottom line is that I do collect the revenue. I have them self-report their revenue, and a lot of companies, whether it's particularly in the nonprofit, or in the startup, they have really low funds. They just aren't bringing in perhaps any revenue at all or not much. So I have a feeling that if we just required that initially, there would just be more limited participation overall. But I like the idea ultimately of working toward getting this off your books.
Right.
I have that shared interest. And I think we're getting closer, with a lot of these organizations. And I know a lot of the administration here has been having big conversations too, in the community. So, yeah, I hear you, for sure.
Senator Amaya?
What does the distribution look like for, seniors or juniors or sophomores? How do they?
Yeah. So, let me see here. So seniors apply in bigger numbers. It kind of goes the way you would expect. We have more seniors who apply than juniors, sophomores, freshmen. Selection also follows that exact same trend. So 67% of the the interns in this past cycle were seniors. So, you know, nearly three quarters, you know, over two thirds. One quarter were juniors, so then that's going to make up, you know, your bulk, and then between freshmen and sophomores, 7% total for interns. But and then the application numbers, yeah, just followed that same.
Yeah. Senator Burton?
I checked my comments. Okay.
Are there any further questions at this time? All right, well, thank you.
All right, thanks.
Do you want those back, those papers that you
passed
out?
I mean, either way. I don't think it's necessary.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, this report, like I said, should be available to all of you.
All right, we'll now be moving into agenda item 5B. We'll be hearing from Steve Smith.
Good evening. Thanks for making time for me. You know, you and GSA are my two favorite groups to come and meet with. I wish you guys would have some sort of IT thing you wanted me to come to you every month. I've got a few things I want to go over with you, but mostly I want to then answer any questions you have about those items or anything else related to information technology. But I did bring some things to pass around. One of the things that we all depend on is our network. I spend a lot of time to make sure that we have very fast, very good connections, and this is the thing that makes it possible. This is a fiber optic cable, and if you look at this, there's these very thin strands here. Smaller than the width of a hair, it carries terabits of data on here. This is the thing that connects us all to the world with things. Let me get into the few items that I want to go over with you. I want to pass out two other items to you. I got two hard copies of each of these, but there's information inside of them if you want to get additional copies or access to the electronic copy. And I'll cover these in a minute, but I'll start passing them out now. And these are yours to keep and put in the files. And they will be online it'll take a little while to put them online, mainly because we want to make sure that these are going to be 100% accessible to anybody that wants to read them. We spend a lot of time with that. But the first one is our secret student IT shopper. You know, I've got five students that just report to my office. They're undergraduates, and they go out and they look at different online services and systems and just try them out. And then they work through with a ranking in there to say, oh, that was pretty good, or boy, that one was tough to use. And then we send those reports to the departments who are providing that online service and let them know what they might want to consider in terms of improving that, making it better. So this past year, they looked at printing services, student health centers, our own IT support center after hours, the support center help desk chat feature, how to post marketing materials on campus, the library help desk, digital storage for students, and borrowing equipment at One, which is in the first floor of the Knowledge Center there. And then they rated them, and you can see the ratings here. If you have ideas for things that you want our secret student IT shoppers to look at this year, they are out right now trying things out. Send those to me, and we will add that to the list of things that we want them to look at. Because we want to continue to make sure that we are going to be doing things that are really going to be supporting and easy to use. The second thing is, last year, and some of you may have participated in this, working with an outfit called EDUCAUSE, which is the primary higher ed IT organization, they conducted a survey of all of the undergraduate students at UNR about technology. And it was really to see how satisfied you all are with technology and how you use technology. Just over 1,500 of your colleagues, and some of you may have participated, responded to the survey. I won't go through all the details, and again, besides these two copies, if you want to get your own copy electronically or in print, there's contact information in here on who to contact, and we'll get that set up for you. This will be posted online, but as I say, this one's a little bit more problematic to make accessible online, but we'll be doing that. I'll just point out a few interesting things in here. We compared ourselves to all other doctoral granting institutions like our own across the country who responded to this survey. One of the interesting things is that the majority of all of you and your fellow students have 2, 3, 4, 5, and some hardy souls, 6 or more electronic devices that you use to access things. I don't know what the people are using for 6 devices, but I counted it up. I've got 4 myself. And so the majority of you have, it's about 50%, have 4 or 3 devices that you connect in with and you do your work with the university. Another interesting statistic, this is just chock full of interesting stuff. I was glad to hear that about 83% of undergrad students responding to the survey said that the technology experience here was good to excellent, and only 1% of those responding said it was poor. That doesn't mean that that's comprehensive, but with 1,500 respondents, that's a pretty good cross-section. So that was good to hear, but there are some areas that we need to look at that we want to take care of. Another area here is, and this is where we were different from other schools that we compared ourselves to in the country. 46% of you have no courses that have any kind of technology involved with them. 52% have some courses, and 2% all courses with that. Comparing it with other schools, again, other doctoral granting universities across the country, they have only 15% of their undergrad students have courses with no technology in them. So this is the kind of stuff we want to look at and say, hey, why are we different? Is that good? Is that bad? Are there things that we need to look at to make more better for us? 28% of those other schools across the country, the students are taking all of their courses online. That's another interesting statistic that will give us further pause to take a look at things here. I was happy to see that just over 87% of the students responding to this were satisfied with, took most or all of their classes using the Canvas learning management system. I'm sure you're all familiar with that. 71% were satisfied or very satisfied. So that says we got some work to do to make sure that we can improve that system. And that's where we want to get as specific as we can about what we can do to make those things better. The majority of you prefer a learning environment that is mostly, but not completely, face-to-face, or maybe about half and half face-to-face and online. So again, we go back and we look at the numbers of that high number we had of classes where there's no technology in it. Most of you seem to prefer some technology enhancement in your classes. There's a lot of other good stuff in here. I'd be happy to and eager to talk with you as you look through with that and you find things in there that you think are of interest, or you say, why did we come up with that and what are we going to do to respond to it? One of the things, speaking of feedback, and we do get a lot of feedback from all of you, and this is one I'm very concerned about. You know, this summer we rolled out a new My Internet, or My Nevada 2.0. That came out like a big thud. I mean, it was not popular at all. Now, we know that there were some problems with it. One of them was a login, which was a technical problem that has been resolved since it came out. Should make some difference in it. We actually had student focus groups looking at it as we put the thing together, but obviously we missed the mark on some things. We also had a couple of key staff, one on the technical side, one on the functional side, who left, and so we had to take care of that gap, but that's being filled. I am personally going to be bird dogging that puppy dog, and we're either going to fix it or we're going to put it out of its misery. So I just want you to know the intent was there to improve things for you, and we didn't even come close to hitting the target on that, so we're going to keep working on that one, though, until it's fixed. Another thing that we are doing, and we were very interested in hearing your feedback on it. We are going to be doing a survey on that as well. That's as you use the service. We are trying something out. We did it last year. It seemed to work fairly well. We are looking very seriously at going full-time to this, and that is that we are moving the first line of our help desk, that is the first person you talk to when you call the help desk to get support, into the cloud. And the reason we're doing that is because in today's environment, it's 724-365. You guys never rest from your schoolwork or anything else you're doing, and nor do our faculty. And we need to have help desks that's there to answer the phone any time of the day or night, any day of the week, any week of the month, any month of the year. So we're trying this with a company called Pearson. We tried it out last year, and that's where we had the secret student shoppers look at it. And they did, well, you're doing it right now at nighttime, or if you call on the weekends or you call on a holiday, you're going to get these Pearson folks. They're supposed to be doing it so that it's pretty invisible to you, whether you're talking to somebody right here or somebody there. The feedback we got so far has been pretty positive. We are going to be doing another survey on that, but the plan is to go to that full time. The reason for that is going to free up our staff to help out with problems that are of a deeper, more complex nature. We will still have the walk-up help that you get over at the Knowledge Center for that. The last thing, I talked about accessibility. We talked about the tech survey. Remember that Carissa and Luke are your representatives on the Student Tech Fee Advisory Committee. We'll be having our fall meeting in November. All of you paid your student tech fee when you registered. Those funds, that advisory committee takes a look at how we're planning to spend that and say yeah or no or we'll think about it. We take the advice that they have. Someone no less than the provost came to that committee and said, hey, how about some money for this? And they said, and go find it somewhere else. Good cause, but not for our student tech fee. So that's an important one to do. We do things with that, for instance, with Box, which is the storage, Nevada Box, where you can store your files and stuff. And so we use some of those funds to help pay for that. Just over 3,200 of you make use of that to store your files on. So that's how we make use of those funds. But that's an important one that we need to make sure that you are staying on top of with us. I want to make sure while I'm here that you're all satisfied with your Google Mail and that that's working well. I don't know of anything that is amiss with that, but I'm always open to make sure that that is working well. That's another thing that we've essentially put into the cloud. Those are all the things I wanted to just touch base with you on. And so I'm open to answer questions on those things or anything else technology related. And by the way, if you haven't tried, this is a cold brew, but it's a nitro cold brew. I wanted a boost before I talked to you guys of energy, and I said, well, try a nitro cold brew. This is great stuff. And when I'm done here, I'm going to go finish the fine arts complex over there. So, any questions for me?
Senator Burton.
So, throughout the various colleges, it kind of seems that how IT is managed is sort of siloed between all these colleges. Like, some will roll out operating systems or newer operating systems sooner than other colleges. So how does the IT department, how is your department trying to like kind of tie all that in together to make it more consistent or more seamless?
Yeah. The best way to describe that is herding cats. But I know exactly what you're talking about, and it's on a spectrum. We really feel that at the colleges and in the departments, you want to have somebody that's really close to both you all, the students, and the faculty there to be able to respond and know all the little idiosyncrasies and things. And we couldn't be responsive to that from our central organization if we tried, particularly the like College of Engineering and the College of Science, who really have a lot of technology there. On the other hand, we do try to coordinate that so that we try to keep it on a level playing field. And so that's a constant kind of push and pull. So that as we're going to do something, we want to let everybody know about it. We do manage some software licenses across the system, and we try to communicate that out so that people can put that out and put it in place. The best thing that's going to help me with that are your voices and your fellow students. If you're having a particular problem, although, as I said, the colleges and the departments, they manage a lot of their own IT. I view my role here as the CIO is to make sure that the technology is working for everybody, particularly for all of you, regardless of who is providing that. And so if you all come and ring my bell and say, hey, we got issues here, that's where I can follow up and say, okay, what can we do to make this better for everybody? So that's what we can try to do.
Senator Yegiyan.
I know a lot of students in the dorms specifically like to buy printers and use them in their dorms, but they have trouble connecting to the school's network. Is there a reason for that, and is there a way to fix that and get them connected?
There shouldn't be a particular reason for it with the devices as they're connecting in. I'll need to get the particulars on that, but I'll talk with the folks over in Res Life and see. We work fairly closely with them on stuff. We've worked a lot with them on wireless stuff. And of course, more and more printers are coming out wireless. We do take some care, as all the devices that get connected to the network, with security. Printers actually are a fairly significant security hole there. It doesn't mean that you can't hook them up, and in fact, they're a consumer device to do that. But that's one that hasn't come up on my radar, so I'll check on that and find out.
Okay, yeah, I just know, like, last year when I lived in the dorms, I called the IT center and asked them why I couldn't connect my printer to the school's Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
And they said it wasn't allowed, that we weren't allowed to connect to the school's Wi-Fi.
That one doesn't, that's a screwy one for me, so I'm not sure why that, because... come on, folks, it's the mobile period that we're in here. You got to be able to connect that stuff in. So I'll follow up on that. And again, you guys should never hesitate to contact me when you have problems and when you talk to the IT folks. And I'm not clear there on the IT folks. We have our help desk I was talking about. It may have been the folks in Res Life that are helping you. Could have been in a college or department. Again, I'm just here to make sure that IT is working for everybody, regardless of who's providing the service. Always call me. I'm very lonely over there on the third floor of the Knowledge Center. I welcome you to stop by, call, send an email. I got four devices, so there's no excuse there.
Senator Sewell.
Yeah, just
kind of
on that, is trying to log into, like, the UNR
Senator Sewell.
I'll tell you.
was there, like, why did we decide to have Nevada 2.0 rather than just, like, the mind of Nevada that we usually had? And then obviously, like, you were aware that it didn't, like, quite hit the mark of what it should be, but why was there a need to update it?
Well, most of the feedback I got from the day that I got here was that the My Nevada 1.0, which really came bundled with the software we use for our student information system, which is PeopleSoft, was kind of kludgy, was not very friendly. It took some time to get used to it. Usually by the time you're a junior or senior, you've kind of figured out how to get through the path to get there. And so he said, there's got to be a better way to do this. I was familiar with this software from Indiana University, where it was developed. And a number of other universities have used it fairly successfully. And so we said, well, this looks like a better way. We looked at it. We did demos with it. It looked good to everybody that tried it. I think where we suffered here is in our implementation of it. Some of you have probably seen those pictures about trying to build a swing that's built by committee, and it looks just, it's a disaster. That may have suffered a little bit by this. We were trying to be so careful to bring this out and get the input from a lot of folks. I know that the team that was working on it labored mightily for literally months on just the icons that were there. And sometimes when you do that, it just doesn't satisfy anybody when you try to fix that. So we will continue to work on it until we say, you know, this horse just ain't gonna fly, and then we'll see where we want to make a change. Horses don't fly. That's the problem.
Senator File.
That we pay.
How much?
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's now $9.
And is that per credit?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And it is divided two ways. One of it goes into something that's called Integrate One. Integrate One is just the term that the university used to pay for the student information system. And the other pieces that go into that and the tech, other associated software that makes that work, and services for that. The rest of it goes, and the second part of it is what the Student Technology Advisory Committee looks at. The bulk of that goes into technology in the classrooms, goes in for the help desk, for the computer labs that are open to everybody, and things like Box that I mentioned, and other things that are direct services to all of you.
Senator Burton.
So I know that Alchemy or Workday, or I guess from the same entity, they're looking to implement or create a new, basically a student information system, just like how My Nevada is. Is that something that the university would be willing to look into or invest in, or is already planning on doing such a thing once that new software comes out?
We'll be looking at it. I looked at it myself about a year ago as we were doing Workday. In my opinion, it wasn't ready for prime time yet. They were still building it. There are some schools that are using the Workday student information system, but it still needs to mature a bit more. I also think with the university, although it didn't affect all of you directly, indirectly it affects all of you, the university needs to get kind of its breath again after going through Workday, which was a major change for us, and we're still going, feeling the effects of that. I'm sure that at a certain point here, we will just take a look at where we're at with our student information system and say, are we going to stay the course with this, or are we going to do something different? That's not something that we would decide in isolation, because the PeopleSoft that we use is used by every campus in the system. And so that would be something that would rise to a system-level discussion.
Senator Rogers?
For online classes, is there more of an online fee? Is it the same, and how is it allocated?
It really depends on the courses. For instance, same company but different uses. There are some courses that are offered through Pearson, and they basically have their own fees set up with those associated with them. But otherwise, I don't believe that there's a separate fee for other courses we have online, but I would refer back to, yeah, so we don't have a separate fee for other courses like that.
Are there any further questions? Senator Mata.
So a lot of my teachers are from past generations, and they don't really work with technology well, specifically Canvas, when it comes to like uploading things or just like keeping our grades in check. So do you guys like have ways to teach teachers how to use, or teach professors how to use Canvas, or encourage them to use it in general?
Yeah, Canvas, the operations and management of Canvas runs under a group called TLT, Teaching and Learning Technologies. They do provide training on how to use Canvas, and they provide support for that. But one of the things that frequently comes up, it's the old thing, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. Right now, there's not a mandate that the faculty have to use Canvas. I would note, though, that the numbers are pleasingly higher this semester of faculty who are making use of Canvas. But it's a constant kind of change. One of the things, I just had a meeting earlier this week on concerns that faculty often say, here's the materials, and you can find that and go to Canvas, and the students go to find it, and it hasn't been uploaded yet. And that's a matter of, I think, people getting used to the thing that in today's world, that means you got to be snappy with getting stuff done. And it's not the same kind of turnaround time. So it's a constantly moving target. If you want to really hear more about Canvas and its use, I suggest that you probably invite Ed from TLT to come talk with you.
Senator Burton.
So you asked for us to kind of voice our opinions or to let you know about some concerns within our colleges regarding computer technology. For the College of Business, for example, ever since they've implemented their new Windows 10 into their lab computers, we've noticed that the systems are starting to get bogged down, whether it was a poor implementation or it's just because students are becoming more resource hungry. Is that something that your office could help support if they need new upgrades to their systems or whatnot?
We have a campus-wide license for Microsoft, and then we make that available, and any of the labs can then take that and load that on. We'd be happy to consult with them and see if there's a particular issue there, if there's some other titles that are causing any of the problems. Of course, I might be biased there and say there's another problem there. They're using Microsoft. I'm a Mac guy myself. So.
Are there any further questions at this time? Senator Burton.
I got one more. We've got the IS student in this group. What is your department doing to ensure that student information and how we use computers on this campus is secure, while still balancing out availability to students being able to freely access resources from either from home or even on campus itself?
It's one of the things that we spend increasing amounts of time looking at and doing. We have external assessments. We just finished an external assessment of security with several of the colleges, as well as our own operations centrally. And then we go back and we do remediation on that. And you're right, it's a real balance between security and access. And a lot of it comes to the human element, and so we try to do as much training and information as we can for folks, because there are phishing that goes on all the time. We had some just a couple of weeks ago where messages apparently seemed to be coming out from the president, from the provost, and in fact they weren't, and it was simply a phishing attempt for somebody to go on to that. And so we balance that. Our security folks stay on top of that, and our role in that, as opposed to what we were talking about earlier with the IT support in the departments, there, I don't have any hesitation that we have to do that centrally, and we'll step in if we have any kind of security incident. And the biggest thing that we can do is take them off the network. And sometimes we do that, and it seems abrupt, but we're doing that so that we can save our systems from being corrupted, and then we'll come back later, and we will work with them on that. So it happens every. In fact, just before I came over here, I was checking my mail, and I was checking my junk mail. I got a ransom mail message, and they said, "Send us $500, or your computer and everything on it will be erased in 48 hours." So you constantly have to be on top of this.
So do you think that it's appropriate to start looking into new mail options, since you asked about it, and if there's any issues with it, seeing that there have been an increase in phishing attacks?
Well, you know, any of the mail systems, you all use Google, the employees use Microsoft, any of those are going to be subject to various things. We try to protect things by encryption of stuff. One of the reasons we got Box is you can do some encryptions on that. The other thing that we will be rolling out, it's probably going to be a year down the road before it comes to all of you, is we are going to be doing what's called multi-factor authentication. And that's the kind of thing, when you go to log in, then you're going to get a thing on one of your six devices that says, is this really you? And you type in the code or the whatever they send to you, and then you get access to it. We do that right now with Workday. If any of you use Workday, that uses multi-factor authentication.
Awesome. Are there any further questions? Thank you for coming.
Thank you. Get a nitro.
I'll read into the record. Senator McKinney left the room at 6.03 p.m. and re-entered the room at 6.05 p.m. We'll now be opening up it up to further public comment. Is there any further? Yes. Vice President Bradley.
I just want to say thank you to both of our, so Elizabeth already left, but both of our public comment speakers tonight I work very closely with. You guys can see that they're both very student-centric and that they're open dialogues with both things. If you guys have questions on either of the programs, please email straight link to both of them. PAC friend or PAC internship grant, Senator Grant, I agree. We need to figure out a future plan with that in the works. With that meeting, we'll figure it out between budget and finance and Vice President, because that's under my domain. So good job. Thank you.
Or Dr. Beatty.
Hello, everyone. I hope you're having a good night. I think Senator Hughes was given some of these by Gabby Ortiz Flores. She's been working really hard at putting together a whole week's worth of free speech and activism for everybody next week. So please take a look at them. There's some great stuff going on from, you know, athlete activism in the political arena, which we know now has become really a really big thing, a powerful thing, to how to work on a workshop on responding to hate speech on campus. So there's a whole bunch of stuff here. You know, we're getting really close. It's time to get vote. This is the civic season, right? So like Anna and I always say, don't get salty, get civic. So go to some of these, get other people to go to these. Thanks.
Any further public comment? Seeing none, we'll move into agenda item 6, receipt of petitions and correspondence to the Senate and referral. I do have a email from one of our prior nominees for the cabinet seat. It says, to the Senate of the Associated Students of the University of Nevada, thank you for your consideration for the cabinet Senate position. In the past week, I was offered a job opportunity that would not permit me to fulfill the requirements of the seat if I were to be elected. With much consideration, I decided to withdraw myself from the election. I wish the best of luck to the other candidates and hope to share my ideas with Amir and the elected cabinet senator. Again, I appreciate the opportunity and your time. Best, Lizeth Acosta. All right. Moving into agenda item 7, we will not be doing reports of ASUN officers tonight. So we will move into agenda item 8, report of the Senate committees. Agenda item A, chair for the Committee on Academics, Senator Collins.
Hey guys, so not a lot on this report, but we have a meeting this Friday at 1 in the President's Conference Room. We'll be having the senior co-editors of the Nevada State Undergraduate Research Journal coming to speak. And then this previous meeting last Friday, we had the Latin Honors piece of legislation on the agenda again. And with a lot of discussion on it, we decided as a committee to table it. And you guys should have received an email from me asking you all to speak with your dean. If you set up a meeting with your dean after this Friday, unfortunately, that information probably won't be helpful of what your dean thinks of this piece of legislation, because we'll be discussing it again this Friday. So if you guys can meet or even email between your dean before this Friday and then send the feedback that you get from them to me, that'd be great. Right now, I haven't gotten any feedback from you guys, so make sure you're working on that, please. And then other than that,
thank you. Agenda item 8. Senator Burton.
If we've already received feedback, would you want that in form of an email or just meeting with you?
For me, I prefer an email just so I can have it all written up and compiled together.
Okay. Are there any further questions? All right. Agenda item 8. B, Chair for the Committee on Budget and Finance, Senator Grant.
So, maybe the last week we did financial reviews on equal promotions, diversity and inclusion in leadership programs, which is more or less a review and more of saying that it's not really an account anymore. This week we will meet again, 10 a.m. President's Conference Room. We'll be reviewing ASU on satellites and resources and judicial counsel. That's all I got.
Are there any questions? All right, moving into agenda item 8. C, Chair for the Committee on Civic Engagement, Senator File.
Hi guys, we're going to be having a meeting Friday at 2 p.m. in the President's Conference Room. Going back to like our monthly civic engagement for ASUN officers, there was some confusion because we were going to do the Dick Taylor Park cleanup and then it was the same day as Electoral People. And then there was some confusion whether it was going to overlap. And then there was a press release sent out by the city of Reno that said we're partnering. So I talked to Gabby and I talked to Amy and Monique. So basically, it's going to be from 8 to 10 a.m. We're still going to do it. You don't need to sign up on gift polls because it's a little bit confusing and we don't need, I don't know, it's just been like a little hectic. So just come out if you can, and then whenever you present, it shouldn't interfere with any presentations for Elect All the People, or Elect All People. So you should be fine, just you should be able to come. So please come back. That's going to be this Saturday from 8 to 10, Dick Taylor Park. We're going to meet where we met for Dog Fest. It's at Dick Taylor Park. Base.
Are there any questions?
Can I see a show of hands of who thinks they'll be able to come out just for a couple hours?
Will you read them off?
Senator McKinney, Senator Rogers, and Senator Amaya, and Senator Green.
Perfect. All right, thank you guys.
All right. Moving into Senator File.
Tomorrow I'm going to be going to a conference in Las Vegas with Director Batar and Speaker Martinez, so I'm going to have a report on that after I get back, and I'll appear at the committee. Yay.
All right, are there any questions? All right, we'll now move into agenda item 8D, Chair for the Committee on Government Operations, Senator McKinney.
So my committee and I, we've been like still going over the SAS and everything, but I met with Attorney General Ward today, and we have a formalized doc review evaluation form that we set up. So now it's going to be very formalized when we are going through the SAS. And I know we had something over summer where we all had little pieces of the SAS and we went through it. So we're just going to constantly be doing that still during the year. So by the end of the year, we can comprehensively and say that we did go through the whole SAS and have like certain notes to leave for the next GovOps chair. In the wake of it, so they could see the comments that we left, why we changed certain things, and why they should like look into things afterwards. Other than that, next meeting is next Wednesday at 9 a.m. same time. So.
Are there any questions? Seeing none, moving into agenda item 8 E, Chair for the Committee on Public Affairs, Senator Alvarez.
Hi everyone, so meeting this Friday right at noon in the President's Conference Room. We have a resolution on ballot initiative 4, the sales tax assumption on medical. And we'll be going through Senator reports. I also have a day and time for the flag retirement ceremony, so that's the day of the veteran luncheon, November 8th, 2018, starting right at 10:45. And so for the record, for those of you who don't know what a flag retirement ceremony is, it's when it's normally done when a flag cannot be used in service anymore, and this is done by Veteran Services. So we'll be right out in front of Gateway Plaza, and then the veteran luncheon will follow right afterwards. And so I'm also scheduling a briefing the week of the veteran luncheon right after Senate, which 7th. So for the officers who express interest in attending the event, please put this in your calendars. And the officers who express interest are Senator Aziz, Sewell, Green, File, Collins, and Lemus. Just know that we'll be having that right beforehand. Thank you.
Are there any questions, Senator File?
Please, sorry, what was the time of that?
For the like overview of the briefing.
Oh, it's going to be right after Senate, November 7th.
Are there any further questions? Seeing none, we'll move into agenda item 8F, Chair for the Committee on University Affairs, Senator Mata.
So in Sagebrush, I don't know if you guys saw this, but there was an article coming out saying that the university is under 7 different investigations in terms of disability accessibility. They're still ongoing, and there hasn't been any further looking into them in terms of the president's office, but because of the article, there have been a couple more things coming up. So if you guys want any anything said, anything about these investigations read during the committee, then please email me or somebody in our committee who's doing it.
Are there any questions? All right, agenda item 8G, Speaker Pro Tempore, Senator Hughes. So we will be having our meeting, our weekly meeting once again in the Rita Layden Senate Chambers tomorrow at 7:30. Last week we went over legislation, so the difference between the different types of legislation. And we are like officially starting the speaker pro tempore format, so different interns get to act out those positions. Additionally, this week we will be going over communication, so like combating public speaking fears, things of that nature, because that is so important in ASUN and then in life as a whole. So just please keep meeting with your interns. If you have any questions or issues like with like times, please reach out to me. Are there any questions? All right. Agenda item 8H. Chair for Committee on Oversight, Speaker Martinez. I do not have a report from him. So we'll now move into agenda item 9, comments and announcements. Are there any comments and announcements at this time? Senator Yegi-Ayan.
So for everyone that mentioned last week that they're interested in writing some sort of resolution in support of getting a representative from the DRC on Faculty Senate because of the issues that were brought up by Assistant Director Christensen last week, I'm meeting with her next Wednesday. If anyone would like to come, I know Senator Clemens, Alvarez, File, Hughes, Rogers, and McKinney were interested. If you'd like to come with me, we'll be at the DRC at 3 p.m. Wednesday the 23rd.
Are there any questions? All right. Is there any further comments and announcements at this time? All right, we'll now move into agenda item 10, motion to fast track appointments. I am seeking a motion to fast track the appointments for Corey Rogoshevsky. Senator Burton.
Actually, I think this would be easier. I move to fast track items A through C through unanimous consent.
Is there any dissent to the motion? Seeing none, the motion is fast tracked. Moving into agenda item 11, approval of appointments of senators and ASUN officers. The first two nominees will not be attending tonight, so we will only be hearing from Corey Rogoshevsky. So you are welcome to give your presentation at this time. This will be limited to 10 minutes. Yeah, you can stand.
Hello, everyone. My name is Corey Rogoshevsky. I'd like to thank you all, the ASUN Senate, for considering my nomination to the Office of Senator for the College of Agriculture, Biotechnology, and Natural Resources. I'm a firm believer in the notion that it's our experiences that truly make us who we are. And it's with great pride that I can say that I have had many experiences offered to me through my diligence, perseverance, and I'll be the first to admit a tiny bit of good luck. Throughout my academic career, I've always strived for excellence in everything that I do. I was a member of, or official of, several student clubs back in high school, including the National Honor Society and Future Farmers of America, and I was salutatorian of my graduating class. Through all of this, I managed to still run a successful business, participate in 4 different sports, and still work a part-time job, so I have excellent time management skills. Thanks to several key academic and sports scholarships, I was fortuitous enough to attend UNR, where I've once more begun to gain experiences offered to me through the school. One of these such experiences that I've been awarded for 2 semesters now is the Community-Based Undergraduate Research Award. I've researched rain on snow flooding in the Truckee Meadows for the city of Reno. The hope of that project and the end goal for my mentor and I is to publish a peer-reviewed research article in one of 2 research journals, either Earth's Future or Earth's Interactions. I was also honored to be selected as a mentor for the Kavner Fit program this semester, or the start of this semester, where the spark of leadership was rekindled in leading my pack. And it was apparent to me that these experiences that I've had occur to me personally really offered a unique opportunity to be an excellent role model to both new and old members to the University of Nevada. And I now hope to take the next step with the appointment to the Kavner Senate seat. Thank you all for considering me. And if there are any questions, please feel free to ask.
Yeah. Well, now, oh. we'll now allow 10 minutes for question and answer, starting with the first hand, Senator Aziz.
So what are your goals?
I came from a rural background personally, which many in the College of Agriculture do, though I am also thoroughly acquainted now with city life, so I feel like I could bridge the gap between the two there, because there are really there is a big difference between many of the students that come into the college, and so I feel that still being raised rural and having those opportunities available to me, I'm able to meet both expectations of the constituents.
Are there any further questions? Senator File?
As senators, we sit on committees. There's the committees of academics, student engagement, budget, finance, public affairs, and university affairs. Which ones would you be willing to sit on? Because you're supposed to sit on 2.
More specifically, I would like to sit on university affairs. That really does appeal to me there. I feel like I should. I'll figure out which other one really interests me. Unfortunately, since I am fairly new to this, even though I have come to a few Senate meetings before, I'll have to learn more about them first before I do anything of that. Though I do also plan to do the Director of Sustainability, or I guess that's what the position is called. I'm hoping for that. So,
Senator Burton,
what do you think are the biggest issues or challenges that Kavner constituents are facing today?
Speaking from personal experience here, coming from such a small town background, I came from a high school with 200 kids K through 12. My graduating class was 17 students large, which is a huge difference between some people who have graduating classes of 200 kids. So I feel like with that experience in the rural background, more specifically, I know what it's like to be overwhelmed here in the university with just the sheer size and coming to the city of Reno with 500,000 population almost. So that's really, I'm hoping that I could help others through that tough little time there.
Senator Wilcox.
As a senator, you're supposed to engage in 4 hours of outreach every 2 weeks. Do you believe that you'd be able to balance school meetings in that 4 hours of outreach?
Absolutely. Like I said, I have excellent time management skills. I'm also no stranger to community service through the National Honor Society and the Future Farmers of America, so I am able to handle that load.
Are there any further questions? Senator Mata?
What would you want your legacy?
I'm hoping that I would hope to bridge the divide between the constituents, more specifically trying to promote unity throughout the school, promote more cooperation between the different colleges, which I, we don't really see too many or go to and attend classes with members from the other colleges. But through my research project, actually, I've been able to talk to people through for the College of Journalism, and I've had those experiences. And I understand that we're all just one university, so I hope to promote that.
Any further questions? Senator Burton?
Why would you like to be in the Senate?
I've always been really interested in politics, and I figure this is something that I would enjoy doing. I know it's kind of, I guess, low time politics. I don't want to, but I feel it is a logical stepping stone here from what I've been doing through the Nevada Fit program, and I feel like that I would really like to just lead other people. Through those experiences. So.
All right. Any further questions at this time? All right. Well, thank you. Per Nevada open meeting law, you are allowed to stay in here, but we ask that you leave.
All right.
Thank you. What did I say? Did I say it wrong? All right. We'll now open it up to discussion, starting with the first hand. Senator Burton.
I just really don't see any true direction from Corey. He does have great intentions, absolutely, but his ideas of what, you know, whether it's present issues in cabinet or any goals that he might have, I just don't see them necessarily at this time.
Senator Rogers.
I really enjoyed how eager he was, and even if he doesn't have a set direction, it's the drive that really will help, because we can all help give him direction. Dr. Beebe is here for that, and if he has a drive, I think he can go far.
Senator File?
Yeah, I think he has a lot of potential, even though he might not have a lot of knowledge about AS2N specifically. I think he does represent his college well, and I think he can be a really interesting perspective to bring to the table, and since we need to fill an open seat, I think we need to give the voices of undergraduate students consideration.
Senator McKinney?
I think with his organization, time management skills, and being able to relate to a lot of people in his college, I feel like he would be a great senator and a great senator to sit on government operations as well.
Senator Wilcox?
Yeah, to add what's been said, after having two applicants drop and having him be the only one, I think it'd be beneficial for us to have representation rather than no representation going forward, maybe with a month or two before another applicant comes. So I think it would be a good idea for us to vote yes for this individual.
Senator Alvarez?
I just don't want to fill a seat just to fill a seat really. I think he would be a great candidate in the future, but I think he needs more leadership experience, but that's just my perspective.
Senator Burton?
I highly agree with Senator Alvarez just stated. I think that there are other qualified candidates that would be more interested in this position and be able to actually have some sort of direction and, you know, don't want to take the opportunity away from someone else that can fulfill that seat a lot better.
Please keep in mind that this has been posted publicly for several weeks now, so people have had the opportunity to apply for this position. While we don't have to approve of this individual, just keep in mind that every time we do have a Senate meeting, every time we do anything as senators, the College of Cabinet is being underrepresented. So kind of balance that. Senator Wilcox?
I actually was going to say exactly what you said, so I retract my comment.
Senator Mata?
In terms of his goals, nothing really stood out to me. At this point, based off of what he said, I don't have a reason to vote yes. And at the same time, I don't have a reason to vote no, so I'm very polarized in that concept. He does seem to have good motivations and that can go far, but in terms of just filling a seat to fill a seat, that's not a reason why I would vote yes for him.
Senator Grant?
I don't agree with the fact that we're focusing on his lack of leadership experience in a certain position. I think many of us coming into Senate went out on a limb to run for these positions, and I think many of us lacked a certain position that was leadership-based. I don't think that's going to hinder him from coming in here and doing a great job. I think this kid is very motivated. He was motivated in high school, and I think he's going to do a great job in Senate.
Yeah, going off of that, please remember that we are trying to ensure that he can fulfill the duties of the SAS. So that is our main concern, like in addition to representing his constituents. Senator Sewell?
Just from his resume, in terms of the people he's concerned with his lack of experience, I know that he went to high school, he said, with 17 kids. But he was the treasurer of his class from 2014 to 2017 and vice president from 2015 to 2017. In the National Honor Society there, he was the treasurer from 2015 to 2017, and then he was the president for whatever blog SB is from 2014 to 2017. So he does have leadership experience all throughout high school. While he only went to high school with 17 kids, I think it still shows that he did try to be involved in his school, and he's only a sophomore here, so he's still trying to be involved here as well. As for why he didn't apply, like, when we all applied to be senators, I don't know why and how we found out now. I, again, still don't know why. I don't, like, know what those intentions were, but I think he was highly motivated and he does have the leadership experience.
Senator McKinney?
I retract my comment.
Senator Aziz?
When we all ran for our seats in Senate, we all had a platform with feasible goals, not being that entirely feasible, but the goals. And so I think that's for me, because that's what I was trying to ask him. I asked him about his goals, and I also did not get anything from him. What that means to me is that as, like, my co-senator, that means a lot of the things that I have to do by myself right now, like the student advisory board, which I can't even get off the ground right now by myself because no one in my college will help me. That means that he could help me in that regard. But at the same time, I don't know what he wants to focus on. And so I am very 50-50 here as well.
Senator Grant.
Yeah, I think when we were running, most of our goals, we put them down because they looked good on paper. But when you actually come in here, you find out what's feasible and what's not feasible. I know my goals have entirely changed since I realized what really can happen and what can't happen. I think he's going to come in here and realize some good goals to figure out and some really good things to work on. So.
Senator File?
Yeah, I dropped my comment.
Senator McKinney?
So in the SAS, one of the main duties, and probably the main duty, is the prime position to communicate between students and head of colleges, and that is exactly what he said. He wanted to communicate between colleges and communicate to his constituents, and that was the legacy he wanted to leave. So on the basis of becoming a senator, his prime thing he wanted to do was fulfill the main job duty of a senator. So just keep that in mind as well.
Senator Rogers?
Through Speaker Pro Tem for to Senator Aziz, you're right, he wasn't quite sure what he wanted to work on, but I think this could be a great opportunity for you to kind of take him under your wing and get, like, maybe guide him to what you need him to do and what he could do, and just maybe help him a little bit, and that could better help your college, even though that might be a little bit more work for you. It would be better than having to do it all on your own.
Senator Burton?
Kind of going off of what Senator Grant mentioned, yeah, we don't know what was feasible coming into this position, but you can also determine where that individual's interests lie through their goals. Like, what are they? For example, for me, it was advisors, and that's something that I'm going to try to focus on in academic-wise sort of thing. So I just wanted to get something out of him, even if it was just, the communication thing that Senator McKinney mentioned was also very right as well. That's a good starting point, but I kind of wanted some more out of it. But that's just.
If there are more questions that you guys want to ask him, we can bring him back in. So if there are, like, direct questions, if you want to ask whether he'd be willing to work with other people, we could bring him back in. Senator Sewell. No, to my knowledge, it's just the information that we were sent to you. Senator Ahmed.
I wasn't asked specifically to begin with, but the question was, I was still in big forms and stuff, and so I asked you if you're looking at three polls.
Dr. Beatty?
Yeah, generally they just apply, and then the
special elections. Do you want to look at changing that system? That's something that has to do. Yes. When someone applies online, they're not given nearly as much information as you all get before you run the campaign.
So would you guys like to call him back in, maybe possibly ask what he wrote down for those three questions?
He didn't get those three
questions. Oh, he didn't? Okay.
No. What happens is once you all get hired, then I send you an officer intake form, right? And so we have all that information on hand.
Okay.
And usually, you provide it when you run, but they haven't provided it. So they send us that stuff and we have it on file.
Okay. So we will move back into discussion. Senator File.
I just want to say, too, when we got these positions, we didn't have to sit at the head of a table and get grilled by an entire group of people. So I think it's also really scary to come in. I think the directors can speak to this, too, that it's really scary to come talk to us at this formal table, especially since he doesn't have any ASUN experience. So I would just keep that in mind, too.
Senator McKinney.
Well, I just wanted to reiterate what Senator Grant said about the direction when we came into this, like, this position compared to now. When I came to this position, and I didn't even know the chairs, what committees there were up until the debate process or anything like that. And I think that we're still being directed as senators to what we should do and what we're doing, such as next week we're having the 2 weeks from now we're having the October 31st Halloween, just to teach us even more. And we're basically more than halfway through our terms, and we're still being directed. So I think to base off whether or not we and approve this candidate to be a senator based off direction and not based off qualities such as being able to speak to their constituents, having determination, having time management is not the correct shine of light of what we should be looking at, and we should be looking at those characteristics instead of the drive that they have on like promiscuous things exactly.
Senator Mata.
Kind of a tangent, kind of not really. I think you guys are really selling yourself short on how we got to these positions. Elections was hard. We had to do debates. We had to talk to constituents. We put in work, and we did have goals. And he was told beforehand he would have 10 minutes to present, and he gave a very short presentation, and that was his choice. When he was asked about his goals, it was very vague. And that's okay in the sense that you're not sure what the position is going to be, but also our session has had a not great turnover rate. A lot of people have realized how much this actually takes and have dropped out, and those positions continue to be not filled. So, yeah, it's great what they can say about themselves, and it's great to see what they can do, but there needs to be some kind of base to build off of.
Senator Grant.
Yeah, I don't want to take away the difficulty it was getting into these positions. I think it was a lot of hard work. However, I don't think that we really knew what was possible and what wasn't possible. Going back to adding positives on this guy, I think he's very willing to work with other people. I think he's a very compatible kid. I think he's going to come onto committees and provide a great voice on these committees. It's obvious that he has the best intentions for his constituents. He mentioned over and over again how he wants to bridge the gap between rural-type students and the more urban-type students. On top of that, he really wants to get involved on this campus and make a positive change, and I don't see any reason why we shouldn't put him in this position.
Are there any further points of discussion? All right, seeing none, we will now move into a roll call vote to approve or appoint.
So we're just doing a roll call vote now, and then we'll do another roll call vote.
Okay.
All right, so Senator Ahmed. Senator Ahmed, is that right? Nay?
No, wait.
No.
You said.
Oh, I? Okay, so sorry. I was like, okay. Senator Alvarez.
Okay.
All right, Senator Amaya.
Aye.
Senator Aziz.
I'm
going to
stay.
Say boy, and then you give an explanation.
Can you state why for the record?
Yeah, no, I'm kind of wondering that. I don't particularly want to vote on the person sitting right next to me at the table, so I'm staying.
Okay. Senator Burton.
Nay.
Senator Collins.
Aye.
Senator File.
Aye.
Senator Grant.
Aye.
Senator Green.
Aye.
Senator Hughes. Oh, actually, so sorry, you can't. Senator Lemus.
Aye.
Senator Mata.
Point of clarification. What are we voting on right now?
voting on whether or not you want him to be a senator or not. That's what we're voting on right now.
Nay.
Senator McKinney.
Aye.
Senator Rogers.
Aye.
Senator Sewell.
Aye.
Senator Wilcox.
Aye.
Senator Yeghiayan.
Aye.
All right, so we do have majority vote, so he motion carries.
Senator File.
I would encourage all those who voted nay to reach out to him and work with him if you have these concerns. Obviously, it passed, so I would just say outreach to him and help him if you have those concerns and address them with him so he understands.
All right, we'll now be moving into a second roll call vote to approve the nominee.
All right, Senator Ahmed.
Aye.
Senator Alvarez.
I'll say aye.
Senator Maya.
Aye.
Senator Aziz.
Aye.
Okay. Senator Burton.
Aye.
Senator Collins.
Aye.
Senator File.
Aye.
Senator Grant.
Aye.
Senator Green.
Aye.
Senator Lemus.
Aye.
Senator Mata.
Aye.
Senator McKinney.
Aye.
Senator Rogers.
Aye.
Senator Sewell.
Aye.
Senator Wilcox.
Aye.
And Senator Yeghiayan.
Aye.
All right, motion carries.
All right, I will go get him. Okay. Oh, I have to do this.
This one. All right, so if you would raise your right hand and repeat after me. I.
Hi.
Corey
Rogoshevsky.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
Do solemnly swear or affirm
that I will support the Constitution of the Associated Students.
That I will support the Constitution of the Associated Students.
And I take this obligation freely.
And I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge
the duties of the office of which I am about to enter.
The duties of the office of which you are about to enter.
Congratulations.
Yay.
Thank you. And then you're free to take a seat at the table. Cool. Really struggling. All right. So we will now move into agenda item 14, first reading of legislation, Senate binding resolution 86, a binding resolution to update the rules of the Senate. Senator Burton.
I move to approve Senate binding resolution 86, a binding resolution to update the rules of the Senate.
Wouldn't we do that in the second reading? Isn't the first?
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, you did in the
second
reading. This.
My apologies. Yep. Okay. Now we'll move into agenda item 17, second reading of legislation. I'm looking for a motion to approve agenda item 17B. Senator Burton.
I move to approve Senate binding resolution 86, a binding resolution to update the rules of the Senate.
Is there a second? Senator Alvarez?
Second.
We will now move into a presentation on the binding resolution by Senator McKinney.
Awesome. So I actually have to make it two quick amendments. So I am moving to amend line item 5 to read, whereas the 86th session rules of the Senate do not currently reflect the job duties being carried out by the Senate. This is just to make it more better to read. I didn't write it too well, so I have to fix that now.
Is there a second? Senator File.
Second.
All right. Is there any discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, we'll now move into a vote. Or
you can just say all those who approve the amendment say aye.
Okay. All those in favor of the amendment say aye.
Aye.
Nay, or
all those opposed?
Abstentions? All right, the amendment passes.
Do you mind just stating why for the record, please?
I was not in the room.
Okay, thank you.
All right. For the record, Senator Rogers re-entered the room at 6:58 p.m. So the amendment passes. you can move into the second amendment.
Okay, moving into my second amendment. So I move to amend Senate Binding Resolution 86, Binding Resolution Update to the Rules of the Senate, to strike line items 10 and 11 on the first page of Amendment 2 on the second page. After further...
I'm looking for a second. Senator Burton?
Second.
Is there any discussion on the amendment?
Awesome. So I'm amending this because I talked to James further on this, and it wasn't needed, so that's why I'm striking it right now.
All right. All those in favor of the amendment, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Abstentions? All right. We will now move back into discussion on the binding resolution. Is there any discussion at this time? Did you want to go further into, Senator McKinney.
Basically, just went through the rules of the Senate, same thing as the SAS, and updated it to eliminate all gender pronouns. It is all in it's all inside your Outlook, the updated version. So if you wanted to look through that, I sent out an email earlier today. But other than that, that's the gist of the binding resolution as a whole.
Is there any discussion at this time? Senator Mata?
I move to amend five and six to say, whereas the 86 rules of the Senate do not currently reflect the people of the Senate,
Okay. Is there any discussion on the, or is there a second? Senator Burton?
Second.
Is there any discussion on the amendment? Senator File?
Can you repeat what you said?
Senator Mata?
Whereas the 86 rules of the Senate do not currently reflect the people of the Senate, this is because it doesn't change the job duties at all of the Senate, but it instead refers to people and their personal pronouns.
Is there any further discussion? Senator McKinney?
I agree with the amendment.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll now move into a vote. All those in favor, please designate by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Abstentions? All right, we will now move back into discussion of the legislation. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll now move into a vote.
Just the same thing.
What?
Oh, are you gonna-
All those in favor of approving Senate Binding Resolution 86, a binding resolution to update the rules of the Senate, please designate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? All right, the binding resolution passes. We'll now move into agenda item 18, miscellaneous business. We will be going over Senate committee changes. So at this time, Senator... Corey, I apologize. you have to sit on two Senate committees, so at this time the chairs can explain to you what their committee does, but you do have to sit on two of them, and additionally they will be starting tomorrow depending on which one you choose to sit on.
Okay.
Senator Byrne.
Legislative Clerk Hansen,
yes.
Can you let our new senator, what committees are full, what has vacancies?
Absolutely. So right now, the Committee on Academics, Budget and Finance, and Civic Engagement are completely full. So unless someone removes themselves from those committees, then unfortunately you cannot be on those three. But GovOp, Public Affairs, and University Affairs are still open. But it still would be nice if the chairs can still give a rundown of their committees, just in case we have any removals now or in the future. So.
Yeah, so we'll move into the first committee, Committee on Academics, and if you could just give a brief description of your committee.
Hi, I'm Senator Collins. I'm the chair of the Committee on Academics, and basically the Committee on Academics focuses on academics. We have a lot of, a broad range of, what we can choose to work on. We talk to the Office of the Provost, we talk about any of the core requirements. We work with undergrad research, which I know you did, you're doing a research project, so you're probably familiar with that. Just anything involving academics, I guess, but yeah, my committee is full of the time, but if you
you are interested, and a senator does choose to remove themselves, they're more than welcome to be a part of the committee.
Senator Grant.
How's it going, Matt? I'm the chair of Budget and Finance. Sounds pretty much just like how it sounds. We, our main duties to ensure the fiscal transparency of the ASUM budget. So we conduct financial reviews every week on accounts. We do every account throughout the year, make sure they're spending their money on the right things. Other than that, we, all capital expenditures go through us. And yeah, man, it's about that. It's about the gist of it.
Senator Yagiayan.
We meet on Fridays at 10 a.m.
Senator Collins?
We meet Fridays at 1.
All right. Chair for Committee on Civic Engagement, Senator File.
Hi. We meet Fridays, every other Friday at 2 p.m. The Committee on Civic Engagement has to do a lot with community outreach, community service, civic engagement. It's lots of fun. There's snacks. So... It's full, but there's snacks, so.
All right, Chair for Committee on Government Operations, Senator McKinney.
So I'm not trying to toot my own committee horn here or anything like that, but basically we deal with the infrastructure of the whole association. So we edit the statutes of the association. We basically deal with the rules and the doings of everyone in the association. So that's what my committee is doing at the time. We meet Wednesdays at 9 a.m., so... Yeah.
All right. Chair for Committee on Public Affairs, Senator Alvarez.
Hi there. So we meet at Fridays at noon. And so what my committee does is that we deal with all the external legislation that impact the university. Thus, we work a lot with the Department of Legislative Affairs. We often write resolutions, voicing student opinions on different legislations, and with the main goal of lobbying at the legislature as the legislative session begins.
Chair for Committee on University Affairs, Senator Mata.
University Affairs, we just deal with departments of the university and their connections with the Senate and the Association in general. Some of the big ones we deal with are parks and transportation, construction, facilities, the other departments that we pay for, like Student Health Center, PRC, Tutoring Center, all of that. We just basically outreach with them and see if there's anything that they bring to the Senate that can help our constituents. We currently meet on Thursdays at 9 a.m., but we're trying to change it. Also, my committee should send me their schedules. So, currently 9 a.m. on Thursdays, but it might change.
All right, yeah, so if you, do you want to put him on a committee? Like, for him? Or?
He can vote right now. He can vote right now.
That's not what I'm saying. Okay, anyways. So I'll just walk you through. Do you have two committees that you want to sit on?
Absolutely. Oh, I know.
Okay. So you'll just say, I move to place myself on this committee through unanimous consent.
Yeah, and just to let you know, you can do both of them at one time, too. So you don't have to do two separate motions. So you can say, I, you know, move to add myself to this committee and this committee through unanimous consent. Just let you know.
All right.
Yeah.
What was your committee name again?
Government Operations.
Government Operations.
All right, Senator, say your last name.
Just Rogo is fine.
Senator Rogo.
I move for my appointment to the government.
Just,
sorry.
I move to place myself on committees blank and blank.
Okay. I move to place myself on committees of government affairs and university affairs.
Government operations.
And university.
Through unanimous consent.
Through unanimous consent.
All right. Is there a second? Senator File.
No.
Okay, yeah. Okay, is there any dissent to the motion? Seeing none, all right, so you will be on those committees. So you are expected to go to the next meetings that they have. Are there any further Senate committee changes at this time? Seeing none, we'll move into agenda item 19, comments and announcements. Are there any comments and announcements at this time? Senator Rogers?
So I wanted to
about this last week when Ms. Christensen was here, but I wasn't able to be here. I don't know if she told you about this, but instead of shadowing a student with disabilities, we are going to set up a panel with students of all types of disabilities, so learning, physical, and then invisible diseases or disabilities. And then our goal is to hit multiple colleges so that you guys can get an accurate representation on what we're doing well, what they really need us to fix, and then just getting to know them better as people because they are our constituents. And so that's still in the works, but I'm really excited about it, and I'll let you guys know when more turns up.
All right, is there any further comments and announcements? Seeing none, we'll move into agenda item 20, public comment. Is there any public comment at this time? Senator Burton?
If I can please see Senator Ahmed, Senator Lemus, and Senator Rogo right after meeting, please.
Is there any further public comment? Dr. Beatty?
Hey, everyone. A lot of discussion tonight. I'm a little shocked that there was a possibility at one point that maybe you would leave a whole bunch of Kavanaugh students underrepresented. When you're voting on these things, you're voting on whether or not someone, you think someone can do the job, right? And not whether or not, when you have multiple candidates, you're voting for who you think would do the job the best, right? But when you have one candidate, you're voting for if they can do the job or not. So I would just encourage you guys to remember that. This is an intimidating table, and I think that there is a public view that ASUM believes that they're better than the rest of the students. So just working hard on our communication delivery and style when you're talking can go a long way to help fix that. Thanks.
Is there any further public comment? Seeing none, I'll now move into agenda item 21, adjournment. I adjourn this meeting at 7:10 p.m.